Blog Talk Radio.
Because of reliability shall break every chain. The conquering lion shall break every chain. Again and again, again and again, give him the victory. Oh, the conquering lion shall break every chain. The conquering
Brother Drew, starting out the new year, it looked like we starting out with difficulties, but just a second, I'm trying to get my host on with me. Yeah, just a second, I know you probably could hear me, Brother Water. Everything was up and crashed just a 1 minute before it's time to go on there and sign back in. Just a second, everybody. Just a second. We didn't want to start this American New Year out like this, but I guess sometimes you have to. Let's see. All right. One second, everybody. Still trying to log in. All right, there we go. Brother Mahara, hey, both of y'all know on this first day of this American New Year. Peace.
Yes, you got Sister Skanda and Kahane, so he's going to call it.
Okay, I got a I believe Brother Maher is on with us, and that's it at the moment. And another listener, so I don't see the other callers yet. Brother Maher, yo. Brother, why are you still there?
I apologize. Can you hear me good now?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. How you feel?
Yeah, that was on my side. I had it muted because I had already, you know the rule. You got to dial in before 1 o'clock.
Right. Hey, Brother, what are you on?
Yeah, I'm on. Got Sister Shonda and...
They not on yet.
Yeah, I advertised this today's program in Facebook and got my phone, my text messages group set up, so I let them know as well that this program was going to be on today.
Okay, peace on that. Appreciate it.
Do you see son Sean and Cohen's number?
No, they're not on, Brother DeWater.
Not on. Okay.
Yeah, give them a minute. They should be, hopefully they'll be joined without difficulty.
I just increased the lines to 50. Look like I'm going to have to go up some more. It's like it's, we're getting calls all from Indonesia. We got people listening from all around the world, and they just eating up the
calls. Are you serious?
Yes, sir.
Are you serious?
Yes, all over the nation. I mean, not just the nation. It's global now. So it's up before the show. Before the show starts, I'd be hoping Brother DeWater gonna be on there.
Mm-hmm. Take the next flight out and head straight to Indonesia.
For some reason, number one listener, so I don't know what that's about.
That's funny because Indonesia, about 90% of it is Muslims. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got the Polynesian Islands, you got the Philippines, you got all of them that kind of down there in that area, so to speak. They're not too far from each other. It's a pretty decent flight, but not too far from each other.
Okay. Yeah, like I say, I think I'm going to have to take it up another 100.
You haven't got
what you're
yet.
Setting for now.
50. 50 extra.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's an extra 50. So now I'm going to have to go up probably to 100 more.
Well, we can get started.
Okay, go ahead. Put the one just on you.
Yeah. Do this sub, the science of eugenics. Tell someone that looked like me and you, we ain't never heard that word. African American. It was something that was hid from us in the Masonic Lodge. The Great Seal of the United States of America is that of the Scottish Rite Illuminati Mason. So they hid it in the lodge up under the title of the Three Ruffins. And you familiar with the Three Ruffins? I think you can go online and pull up what the Three Ruffins is now. It ain't nothing. It's just like my friend Johnny Taylor. He had a song out, "Everything Is Out in the Open." Right? So everything is out in the open. But the science of eugenics has been used. The greatest person... Sir Walter Gauss in 1881 wrote a book on the science of eugenics, and it came into the Masonic order of the Scottish Rite and York Rite Masons. They already knew about this, the knowledge that's in this book. This is the top of all sciences. The word eugenic is the main science. It deals with the second law of nature, which is the laws of opposites. It also tells you how to breed pure race of people. Hitler took it to the max. When we started to go down the line in a chronological order, the person that did this to the maximum degree of maxtivity was Hitler when he tried to create a pure race of people in the Germanic race of people of Germany. We can see that he failed because right now Germany and Russia, it's only 5%. It's less than 10% of a pure nation of people, of Russians and Germans. We can also see by studying history in a chronological order, I call him the greatest MF that ever walked the face of the earth, is the Germanic race of people, especially Magog and Gog. They have mixed they see with every human being, colored people, subhuman being, which he is, has mixed his seed with him and created another race of people. Once you mix the seed, you create another race of people, all the way down to Negroes, African Americans, and Chinese, Japanese, and then John L. Blumenbach started racism when he said there was a species and a race of people. He said that the Mongolians was the Nice boys, and he named them Chinese, Japanese, Burmese, Yemenese. He said all black people was Ites, so he named us Hittites, Canaanites, Jebusites, and so forth on. He said, but I would find it most interesting, Brother Mahal, that he said that he was the only man on earth. He named himself the Englishman, the Irish man, but he was correct on that man because he was a kind of man. He was a mankind. He was part of. You had to know that the Germanic race of people are the subhumans. For you to be a human being, you have to have color. The word explains itself, hue. You have to have hue. So what you're going to do now is analyze this. Now, the first slaves that came over here was in 1555. According to the Masonic Order of the Scottish Rite Illuminati Masons, it takes 450 years to completely genocide a nation. We are in the 467th year from 1555 to 2020, is 467 years. They are saying that the 18th generation would be genocide. We're in the 37th generation from 1555. So all the people born after 1970, I don't care what color you are, if you lived in America, you've been genocided. To believe that you are a American, you believe that you was a black African American, you believe that you was a Chinese American, a Korean American, a Mexican American, you done already forgot your damn language. You can't even speak it if you born after 1970, especially the people born in 1980. The XY, Millennium, and Z generation of people are totally genocided. And they don't know it. That's the reason the people have exactly like they act now, because you have totally genocide. So
let me shine a light on.
So when we look at this, brother Mahal, when we look at all the figures and stuff, we want to enlighten the people of what genocide is and who started it, and I'm gonna let you take off from there, Brother Mahal.
Well, first of all, greetings to everyone, and again to you, Brother Drew, for having a platform such as this, and to the listening audience as well, welcome. First of all, the word eugenics is an English word, okay, and this word itself comes from a Greek word, eugenes. So this whole thing about breeding, hereditary, goes way back. And it's even older than that. And then we're going to bring in on the word, which, Brother Dwyer, I know you know, the word man. So you are right. They're attached to tell you what particular branch of man they're claiming. Well, we got to go back to the ancient Egyptian word. You know the Greek word minotaur, okay? Then comes the word manhu. So these words still mean they are actually mixed with animal, which is why when they're doing the DNA, such as someone who has the new term, autoimmunes, a person who has autoimmune is a broad umbrella right now. But specifically here in America, they were looking at people who had animal DNA in their human DNA. So autoimmunes used to be called lupus. Lupus, a part of it. Lupus is a Latin word. It means canine. So a canine could be a wolf from which dogs are domesticated from, or it can mean a dog. But, you know, we all know that wolves and dogs are canine. That's a part of the family that they're a part of. Now, again, Brother Dwyer already covered Sir Francis, who in the 1800s had his version of it from Europe. And then he also mentioned Johann Blumenbach. He's from the 1700s. And Johann Blumenbach was out of Bavaria, Ingolstadt University. So I've been knowing about this, okay? And so Dwyer pinned it correctly on how it became known as the reclassification of the quote-unquote human species. And so to the listening audience, they've heard us talk, very good points that was made by Brother Dwyer. And so what I did was, from 2 weeks ago, thinking we were going to try to have the program then, the show then, I went ahead and shepherdized my information to pull my thoughts together so we can make the best use of time. And anyone else who can wants to participate and share information as well. So back to Sir Francis Galton. And his thoughts supposedly was, he wanted to come up with a method of improving the human race through eugenics. And it says, at first, you know, they always play this game. Oh, it's knocked down. It's discredited. It's, as unscientific and racially biased. And that was during the 20th century. And again, Dwyer, you already mentioned about Hitler. And it talked about that by the time Hitler's program and what they had going through eugenics, again, they saw how it was used as a weapon to discriminate against certain segments of the population. Other minority groups was included in that as well. Now, someone would say, okay, so give it to me in layman's term. What are we talking about here? Eugenics is the selection of desired heritable characteristics in order to improve future generations, typically in reference to humans. So, you know, they don't use that term when they're talking about animals and different types of breeds of dogs and horses and all that. They're not using that term to apply to them. And they say, okay, what do we got here? And this is on the books, okay? They tell you that many countries enacted various eugenics policies, including genetic screening, birth control, promoting differential birth rates, marriage restrictions, segregation, both racial segregation, and sequestering the mentally ill, compulsory sterilization, forced abortions, or forced pregnancies. Now, you know, Hitler had a part of his program where he had these things they didn't call them camps, but resorts, where he was continuing to perpetuate and promote that the super race from over there, blue-eyed, stood a certain height, certain body type, build, phenotype, and of course blonde hair, which he himself didn't even have. Now that's the part that's very interesting. because he didn't come from a cut like that, all right? But nonetheless, they were promoting this. Now, let's shift to the American side, okay? So America employed its own version of eugenics, and they were talking about, you know, the question is, so is this still practiced today? And the answer is, oh, yeah, no, without a doubt. And it says they were talking about – yeah, go ahead.
I forgot. I was just saying.
Okay.
Is it employed today? Is it employed to the max right now?
Yes. My focus right now is going to shift towards the American version. Other components to this is the first wave feminism with Margaret Sanger. So let's keep in mind, in the 1920s, she was a feminist. But she also was heavily invested in this whole thing about eugenics as it relates to our people and the impact it was supposed to have. See, there were things being done anyway, breeding farms, and as such, here they say throughout the plantations, all over, wherever this can be found in this country, this was being done, okay, to breed bigger, stronger men who can get out there and work harder as slaves and last longer in the field than when they first imposed this form of chattel slavery upon us, where a man, on average, if he made it to 32 years old, he was lucky. But by the time he reached 32, his health was already ran down, poor eating, courtesy of what they were forced feeding our forebearers. And the guy practically didn't have any teeth in his mouth. You know, so that all came along with, as you know, poor health. So these folks here, with the American version of it, really ramped their game up. So someone was saying, okay, so what are some of these examples here that they were doing here? So let's go back. Again, all of this is taking place in the 1920s. So you've got a famous example, as they refer to. This is something I found when I was putting together and helping to collect my thoughts on this so I can keep it close and tight. It says the most famous example of the influence of eugenics and its emphasis on strict racial segregation on such, and they had something called anti-miscegenation. You know, that's, you know, basically the laws against mixing, different people mixing. Legislation, and it says, was Virginia's Racial Integrity Act of 1924. Now, mind you, they can tell you that the Supreme Court overturned this in 1967, okay, and they give you a case history for that one, and declared anti-miscegenation laws unconstitutional. But, Brother Dwyer, you and I already know by the time you hit 1967, there have been some serious heavy mixing already going on, okay?
Right.
Which impacted hereditary. Now, you shift from being who and what you are on the aboriginal level now, the original level, the indigenous level, to now there's a title that everybody is all of a sudden, everybody's part of this new group called mankind. So you started out talking about they were kind of a man themselves. Now they shifted.
Right.
And if you and for the Harry Potter fans out there, I won't say fans, but who have watched any of the Harry Potter series, what do they call somebody who was mixed like that? They call them, which is part of mongrel, muggle bloods. So you notice that in there, the one guy they went to see, he had beard, damn near round face, you know, hair was all over the place. He was called a muggle blood. So it was kind of interesting of how they did that. And muggle bloods are used, back in that sort of structure in terms of rituals and rites, which they are well suited for. People don't understand. When you're being bred a certain way, okay, it's for a deliberate, pre-planned outcome. So we can talk about why our forebears were able to do this, where they had these gifts and that gift. Well, guess what? Some things have been modified, and that's just the reality of that. Things have been modified. And we see that in terms of people's level of consciousness when certain topics and aspects of spirituality is being discussed. Some folks can't, and I'll use your similar language, Brother Dwyer, some folks can't climb that staircase with you. They can't do it. You then made it to the top of the staircase, and you look, and they're still stuck on the third step, the third degree. They're still there. They hear what you're saying. They want to understand and comprehend what you are saying. Only their computer software that drives them, it's not on the same level of as an operating system as yours. They can't do it. And that's when you start to realize we now have these barriers existing, not because somebody came up and told you a story and this, that, and the other and sowed the seeds of racial discrimination, hatred, and as such. No. Your capabilities have been altered. You're no longer a Rolls Royce, you're a Volkswagen. And now someone has to come along and explain how a person is now a Volkswagen. Okay? Yeah, we both cars, but we ain't the same type of car. So it says here, getting busy, we got another guy who really came to the forefront in the 1900s as the father of this, and I think you may have mentioned his name a moment ago, Charles Davenport. That name sounds familiar, Dwyer?
Yep.
And he was no joke and got to work quickly to put in and to accelerate this program. So it says in America, the eugenics movement began in the 1900s. Well, actually, you and I know it's before that, because if you got a lodge in a society that's a so-called secret society that's in place, no, it's already at play. And when these so-called folks, as far as the order is concerned, who were getting set up, did they not say that what they were doing was to test their theories and concepts and the creation of this great experiment? Did they not call it an experiment? The whole experience is called an experiment. And then the word freedom that they're using, which is actually a god. So they're telling you who they're paying homage to, in a sense. But it's still on a metaphysical plane, everything they're doing. Everything is laden with magic. Magic is real, folks. So don't think it's not. It's not about pulling a rabbit out of a hat. That's called tricks, which is not the same as magic. Okay? So it talks about this guy, what he did. He shifted from animals because he used to be involved in studying animals. And then he shifted his focus to start, quote-unquote, studying and applying this as a biologist to humans. Now, it says, here we go. The early American eugenics movement, first wave feminisms, and then they go into, Margaret Sanger. So, give you a little background, 1883, they cover that information again with Francis Galton, who created the English term eugenics, came from a Greek word, eugenes, and then they go into some other aspects of that whole thing, this whole thing. This guy's published all of this stuff back in those days. And he talked about with Margaret Sanger being involved by her time, she says, let me find something here in here, encouraging the reproduction of humans with desirable traits. See what I mean right here with the modification? Your wiring harness is being changed, okay, that drives you. Your fuses that used to make you go and send the correct impulses to get you on the track, in the road you're supposed to be on, now that's being swapped out for something else. They're changing your wiring harness. And it says, they say humans with desirable traits and discouraging those with weaker traits. Genetics reinforced the prejudices of the time by deeming those with desirable genetic traits as white, still the case today, of higher economic status, it says, and healthy. Okay. On the other hand, those with undesirable traits were identified as non-white, of lower economic status, or were physically or mentally disabled. In addition, criminals and those that were deemed sexually deviant were considered undesirable. However, there was a difference in white people. See, here they go again, right, which is a theory. With those of Northern and Western Europe heritage were deemed desirable, while those that were from Southern and Eastern Europe were deemed undesirable. And, you know, Ye used to refer to, because of the Germans and their phenotype, and parts of those who are considered the white Russians. They don't even use that term anymore today. Not out in the open anyway. But the Eastern Europeans, they were called roundheads and other derogatory terminologies to make a clear distinction that you guys are muggle bloods and we guys are pure bloods. And so for a while, they were discouraging anyone, let's say, of German origin, quote-unquote white, Anglo, from mixing with somebody from Hungary, Romania, Czechoslovakia, or any of the Slovakias, which is where the English word slave comes from. It's a Slovenian word. So the English word slave is from the Slovaks. You wanted to say something, Dwyer.
Yeah. And see, you can go back if you're tracing this history and distinguish from, in German, they got two languages, High German, Low German.
Yes, they do.
And that's the High German people are the purebred. The Low German is the one that had mixed. Now, everybody that's human beings supposed to have O type blood, either O negative or O positive. Now, mm-hmm. if you got AB complex blood, you got monkey blood, recent blood in you. All Germanic races of people, at one time, this is what their bloodline was, but now you got some that has mutated to have old blood, but that came after 1975. They quit taking it for you to get married. They quit giving you a blood test. When I first got married, I had to take a blood test. Me and my mm-hmm. in 1970. Now, after 1970, they didn't see no need for it to take a blood test because everything is hereditary genetic traits. They already knew that they already had got you. The way you can tell this, I want you to go, if you're my age, 76 years old, look at you when you was 20 years old, how you looked and what you believe versus your grandchild that's 20 years old right now. He got everything on him fake. You can see where they done did a tremendous job on the people that call themselves Black African Americans. That's a term that was coined in 1970 when they put it, the government put it on there. When he said that you was a Black African American, then he already knew that he had completely genocized anybody that was a Negro that was a colored person. You would lose trace of all of your knowledge, and you would become this fake human being that you are. Look at the 20-year-old mm-hmm. Black African-American Christian Gentile as we speak. Look how they look. Everything on them fake. Tattoos. Look at the man. He's tattooed up. Mm-hmm. And he don't know anything. See, when I was 20 years old, we was playing bitch with spade, barbecuing. Right now, the only thing they know that women is ass shakers and the men is killing each other. That 20 to 30-year-old bracket as we speak right now. So you can see where this word genocide has conquered the so-called Black African-American Christian Gentile that's in our community now. This is what I basically mm-hmm. want this lecture to be about, is that you can see this stuff now. It ain't no mystery no more. Mm-hmm. You are seeing what you're talking about. And This deals with the blood. This is the blood.
Right. Now, here's what I wanted to say. Here's what I want to add to what you just said. Okay, not only have the people changed. Remember, magic is real, okay? It's the word magi, magus. All these words are real words.
Brother Mahal.
Yeah.
Now, they don't spell this like we spell magic. They spell this M-A-J-I-C. It is black
yes.
magic, white magic. Voodoo is white magic. Hoodoo is black magic. when if you're breaking down the magic on that. So I did a lecture. But you had to know that this stuff is for real. So go ahead on.
So would you, if you want to understand these days what is going on with a person, you have to understand because the magic moves from the inside as a result of this program. Being genocided, eugenics, all of that is they're partners. This whole thing, they make it all of the different components come together to work as one. Pay attention to the tattoos you see on the men and the tattoos you see in the woman. So the magic is no longer exactly inside. Yeah, there's aspects of it, but it's now being worn on the outside. So especially when I'm around Caucasians, I'll see the type of tattoos they have. And it's important for me to know what's this person's point of origin? What's in their background? It's like that tattoo right there, right? What type of tattoo is that? Oh, that tattoo means and they'll tell you, that tattoo means that guy is a key holder. A key holder for what? That remains to be seen. So now we've got, quote unquote, the brown people running around. They've got these tattoos. Pay attention to their tattoos. Oh, you got a blue jay bird on your hand. You got a butterfly tattooed somewhere on you, like with the women. They like to use the butterfly, but when you start looking at the different aspects, it's more than it came out of a cocoon, it did this and that. Now, I want to also talk about this word, African. The Dutch who established South Africa, out of Holland, okay, because, you know, they weren't really, they're not considered purebloods, okay? They were called Afrikaan. So here it is. There's a word that people of color here are using, again, and it's understood speaking Arabic, understood speaking Persian, understood speaking the dialect, Amharic Dees out of Ethiopia, that when you refer to somebody as Afrik, okay, 80% of the time, the person was pale when they were describing what they were looking at. So when people talk about the Roman general, Leo Scipio Africanus, Africanus is a description of, yes, he's pale. Yes, he's this. He's all of these other things that go along with it. Us folks who are melanated, that term never applied to us. Now you have Jesse Jackson in the 1960s, and according to what's said, did he not, Brother Dwyer, go and damn near patent that term to make that term a popular term? And he knew what he was doing because he's a member of a secret society. He is enshrined or a shriner. And what's the order he belongs to? The Arabic order. So there's no way he can belong to the Arabic order and not know that word in English used for us now as African has this point in origin in previous cultures and has always been known, and these words are still used today in these other languages that are still spoken. When they see somebody pale, that person is Afrik. They're not talking about what country they came from. So it had nothing to do with a country. So the Dutch, Duitse, which is related to Deutsch, that we would say is German, they referred to them who was already, quote, unquote, mixed bloods, but pale, okay, from the Mongolian hordes and all that made its way through Europe. They were called Afrikaans. And they have other terms they use too. But right now, this word we're using, we got to get that word off of us because that word has nothing to do with us. Okay, so we're walking around wearing a label that has absolutely nothing to do with us. And no, our label should not be Aboriginal Indigenous either, because those, again, are words that's not in our vernacular for how we refer to ourselves as well as describing them. So that's what I wanted to share with that, just add to the mix of what you had already stated.
Let me add something that you said. Let's go back to Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson said he was an African American.
Mm-hmm.
He established the Rainbow Coalition, which is the LGBT community as we speak. He was the one that started the million, I call them Sissy March in 1993, that most people done forgot, that happened when the gays and the lesbian, they united with the bisexual and transgender and created what they got now, which they rule in America with it when they got their president in, Barack Obama. Every president was asked to do what Barack Obama did, and he did it. But let's go back to 1964, because, see, I was in the Navy in 1964. It was another group of people called themselves Afro-America. These was the militant. These were Stokely Carmichael, Ralph Brown, Malcolm X. See, this Afro-American didn't believe what Jesse Jackson and Martin Luther King was teaching. They was militant,
right.
The same as the underground railroad of these white boys that they don't tell you about that bombed all of these government places and never went nowhere in 1968 and 69. I know most, if you weren't living during that time, I was a grown man. I spent two tours in Vietnam during that time. You don't hear about the weathermen. That group of people, they was right alongside with the Afro-Americans who was a militant people. So you can see where this Jesse Jackson, when he said that he was no longer a Negro that was a colored person, that he was a black African-American, Jesus first and the Democrat Party second. You can see when 2022, how all of these Afro-African-American Gentile Christians become Democrats.
Right. And I do want to say something about these words. There's a difference between African and Afro. Afro, it does not have a K. So they throw you off because we're speaking English. The C is a K. Make no mistake about that. The C is a K. In English. But when without the C or the K, Afro is English for Ephra. Ephra means to be bountiful and prosperous. It is the name of, if you want to use this story, from Joseph. Remember, he had two sons, Ephraim, Ephratah. Okay, so there were parts in Africa that were still referred to as these are the Ephratites, not to be confused with the pale skins who were called Afrique. Not the same thing. So those who said Afro, now he introduces a new word, African. Now, there may be other reasons. We don't have enough time in this show to go into it, but I would just say check his facial features. And check his hair texture. And then do some digging to say, who's his daddy? Who's his daddy's daddy? And go back. Because there are reasons why these people end up in the positions and have ended up in the positions leading and the start of things that seemed on the surface to be to our benefit, which they are not. To our benefit. They have proven that they're not to our benefit. Now, I want to also add this too. Because we mentioned Margaret Sanger, so we're going to get off of her for a second. And just keep in mind the tenets to feminism, first wave feminism, which is pinned to Margaret Sanger, okay, and what their tenets and what she was about and what she believed. Now you have to shift to black feminism. You have to shift to that. So now in the 1960s, I'm still running around in Ivory Snow diapers, wearing rubber pants and sucking on a pacifier. And right there in my own backyard in Harlem, you have Michelle Wallace, who was touted as a black feminist and a communist. Now, or a Marxist, not a communist, a Marxist. Let me make sure I got my terminologies correct. She did not change the original tenets as far as the founder of the quote-unquote American feminism movement, Margaret Sanger, she didn't change none of that. So the program with her different face, brown like us, is pushing for the same, without saying it, the same program that was pushed before. People who knew about this would be the late Maya Angelou. One brother on YouTube played a 10-minute clip where Maya Angelou in the 1960s was talking about the specific problem that we as black men have in this country. And so our candles are being burned as men on both ends. You got the system of white supremacy that created the system called false matriarchy, or its new name that they're saying right now called the gynocracy, which is a system. And though it appears to be feminine, it is controlled by the system of white supremacy because they're the ones who created that, massage it, and you already know the Bilderbergs, the Rockefellers, and all of them, the Rothschilds, they funded that. So monies were being dispersed, support and resources and tools were being set up and put into place to facilitate their desires. So now there is a cross-section now of this last generation of black women in this country who are now going to dress down, and they're doing it. You see it all over YouTube now. And they're going after what they call the hyena pack. So there's a war that's already started. It's been going on for the past 2-3 years probably that I've been aware of it, just paying attention to the discussions. So the hyena pack don't like what the youngins are saying. They don't like and appreciate being called to the carpet. Now, there's another sinister, because you mentioned secret orders and society, so can't get away without saying this. There's another order that is mirroring the Caucasians, and that's called the Order of the Black Mother. And people are like, what the hell is that? Well, it's originally was in the hands of the occultists as far as the Caucasians are concerned, and their ideology, theology was based on the fact of being vampires. Now, you see, kind of see where this is going? And everybody understands, generally speaking, when you talk about vampires and vampirism, well, we know them as bloodsuckers. Right. But you need to ramp up. It's way more than just that. It's other things as well. And under no circumstances, the black feminists, and now we have male feminists because they were raised single mom households, and as such, for the majority of this, they were raised by their mothers. So there is no male input. That was all part of Margaret Sanger's plan, which has been carried out magnificently in the so-called black, as they don't even pronounce the word community anymore, they say communita. That's how they're saying it now. Now you got white boys stepping up on YouTube, and they're echoing these same things because now other black folks are now talking about it, and they're talking about it not based on I feel this way and I feel that way. So they're shutting it down. So the gynocracy, false matriarchy, has instilled another concept called female masculinity. Brother, so now that has to be shut down because that's false. Go ahead.
Brother Mahal.
Yes, sir.
Let me say something right now. Well, so we can get a plain vision. The people that's born after 1980 is the Y, Millennium, and Z generation of people. The Z generation of people is 22 years old now. If you look at the male and the female has become male, and the male has become female. 99% of them. You can see.
Yes.
You can see where this black African American female, she's in the gym, calls herself picking up and looking like a man in the black male that's born after 1980, he's a female. You see him all over
right.
YouTube, all over Facebook, all over walking around in church, walking around in
he's
your
effeminate.
Community. And
he's
you can
effeminate.
See you can see what we're talking about. You can see how the science of eugenics is in its perfect mode of anything born after 1980. I don't give a damn
mm-hmm.
what race it is. If
mm-hmm.
you're an American, and so you have to understand, once you get this title, American, American Korean, American Japanese, American Mexican, when you get that title, he done genocide you into the female being a male and the male being a female, which means that you ain't going to produce no children no more. You this
right,
this,
which is back to genocide and eugenics.
Right.
It's right back to that. You got to go. It's time for you to get off this scene. That's
and
the mindset.
You can see this now. It ain't when somebody explain it to you. You can when somebody explain this knowledge to you. You see it working 100% right now as we
mm-hmm.
speak. 100%.
And it's like a freight train, Brother Dwyer. It's like a freight train. It's different. You no one in their right mind is going to stand out on the tracks and try to stop a freight train. It's not possible. It's never been done. The freight train wins every time. Doesn't care what you show up in. That freight train is not going to, it will not lose. And then they got another thing they call, because of what they've done with the original nature of femininity and masculinity, those who have become feminist, look at the IST added on to the end of the word, okay? It doesn't, which indicates in the English language, this thing you're talking about is no longer the original. And the same thing for a guy, somebody calling some guy a masculist. Okay? What is that, and how is that different from the word masculine? Not the same. They may be loosely connected. But a masculist, as we know, I remember from the late 80s and the 90s, was somebody who was a male, and they referred to him as being a macho man. Now, you, much being older than myself, also know this. The term for being an alpha man has been redefined. An alpha
right.
was always someone who's a leader. People look up to that person. You've got to have alphas. You've got to have betas. You and I are coming from a military structure, or haven't been involved. We didn't come from it. Being involved in that, you understand from the time you get your first non-com stripe, you and I have been through that, you are called what? Team leader. So now, if you didn't know how to exhibit masculine principles, they sent you off to some kind of PLDC, some kind of BNOC school, so you can learn how to be an effective leader. See, everyone has these innate qualities, okay, but not everyone can be a leader. Some guy is just happy and content with just being part of the team, and he does what he does, and he does it well. Then I went to the officer side. Now I'm a lieutenant. Now I'm a platoon leader. 6 months of training, and all the bulk of it is centered around its leadership, how to be a leader, how to be an effective leader. And being a leader does not mean you have to do everything. So now you have to learn how to decentralize how you ran your platoon of 33. Look at the number 33. So they're still working with that, brother. And then you're an XO of a company. So you shadow the commander who commands all three platoons. And then it was my turn to become a commander. By that time, I should have seen enough hands-on, enough training about leadership. Let me tell you, they beat you to death with the leadership. They go into different leadership styles. They even cover Machiavellian principles. So all of that is part of the training and we're in history at large. So they just don't lecture to you about you need to be a good leader. Here's the things that we say. No. You have to be educated in a broad sense, and then it gets narrowed down more to specifically who and what you are, the type of organization you're a part of, so that when you come in, you shake whoever your commander's, who was your my commander at the time, shake his hand. He expects you to know certain things already, or else you should never be wearing that bar as an officer. You should not. Or a person who's a Sergeant E5, if he can't be a good leader, somebody's going to ask questions. Hey, how did this guy get his stripes? How did he become a sergeant, a non-commissioned officer? How did this happen? You know? And they know it's not the school at fault because all of that's standardized. Well, we as a people, under this system of eugenics and genocide, all of that has been removed from us, so we operate, as they say, go for what you know. That's how, and it's been going on too long like that, and it really started to take hold in the late 80s. So things that we would not do, or you definitely did not do in your generation coming up, I have some of that by the time I'm born in 1961, and now the folks who have come well after me, they didn't get that. Not in the school setting, not on the playground, not out there playing basketball, none of that. Some of them who have also joined the military also didn't get it.
Brooke Mahal.
Yes.
Now, school system, let's look at that. They started me to school at 6 years old. They started Brother Mahal at 3 years old.
Yes, they
our
did.
Our grandchildren started 3 years old of being indoctrinated of how to be an American at 3 years old. See, they know that
right.
They have lost the people that they started the school at 6 years old. They know they couldn't genocide them totally, although they
no,
genocide.
Because they came from a household back then with two parents in the household, so they got the chance to
right.
See their mother being feminine, their father being masculine, and at 6 years old, the impression is already made. So they, when they get to first grade, they can function. Now they backstepped it at 3 years old, and that name of that program is called Head Start.
Right.
So now they got them. You don't have a chance because all you're working, the mother is working these days, and the mind that's being shaped, and when it's said and done, that tablet, which was a blank tablet, now has an impression stamped upon it, and it didn't come from the mama. And she can't do nothing with a child like that because now
right.
That child is a monster. Look at the word monster from the word mystery. The word monster, mon, means out of the hole of something. The rest of the word, they rearranged the two letters to give you the English word monster. It means from among your enemies, from out of the hole of all who stand opposed to you, your enemies. So now women have given birth to monsters. Mistress women have given birth to monsters. And that's how it's said.
We got only two more minutes, and like my grandmother say, moron. That's another word. They little morons now, and if you notice them, they on the run. They 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They're just running. They're just running like little
right.
morons. Grandmother used to say.
Mm-hmm.
But we hope that
like another movie, Ronin. They just took the mo off the front of it. And then think about what that movie was about. So that got sliced off the word. And then they're telling everybody there's something. So if you're using the title Christian, rearranged as a brother who's a Shriner taught me, he said, write the word out on the board, big and bold. Okay, wrote it out. He says, now I want you to take a slash and slash separate where the word for Christian ends at the letter T. Draw a line right across that. Separate the three letters I-A-N. He says, now that's Hebrew. Rearrange those letters. Now you have A-N-I. Ani. I am. I am Christ. That's what the New Testament is saying. It's not saying somebody's going to show up as the man Jesus and say that they are the same as him. No, 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 no. If you are wearing the title Christian, you already said, I am Christ.
Right.
And that's supposed to be a bad thing according to the New Testament.
And which makes it, well, in the New Testament, it tell you about the Cretan. So if you go into the dictionary, you look up the word Christian, they say secretin.
It says secretin. But they separate it, though, Dewan. You know this, and we have to tell the listening audience this.
When you were suffering from cretinism, you had leprosy, you were deformed, you was everything.
You was lazy, gluttonous, and everything, as it's written in the book of Titus, when it's talking about the Cretans. And then you say cretin, so you go to the dictionary, a big dictionary, and you look up the word Christian. Well, a big dictionary is going to give you the root word that word is out of, but they don't talk about it under the definition of Christian. You still have to go to, as a matter of fact, it gives you the Latin word, Christianus. It tells you that's the root, Latin. Then you shift and go to the word Cretan, and it tells you Christianus is out of the word Cretan. And the other way to say the word was Christian, a Christian. So a Christian was a person, and even in Europe, that was abhorred. It's like, nah, you folks can't come up in here because you folks are pagans. And I want to say this because Christmas just passed as well, too, right? Did you know in the late 1800s, Christmas was illegal and against the law in this country? They outlawed it and said from get-go that it is a pagan rite and had nothing to do with the actual, quote-unquote, what's written in the book. It was illegal until the late 1800s. So a lot of people may not know that, but I'm just going to share that with you. Okay, people are talking like, well, the founding fathers, are not. No, they didn't do Christmas. And if you look at what Thomas Jefferson had to say, he was a theist.
Brother Mahab, we don't run out of time.
We didn't run out of time.
So we hope that we have enlightened you about what you're looking at right now in the Black African American community. Why you don't understand this child that's born after 1980.
Right.
Tattooed
and then revisit
everywhere.
Those Georgia stones talking about it is that the Earth's population has to be reduced down to 500 million to make it more manageable and such. Everything
right.
is on time right now. This is not to scare people. It's just to make people at large pay attention to what's going on. They are dead serious about you being dead. And they have not missed yet.
That's why they did the pandemic. They got
plandemic, most people call it.
Right now, when I look outdoors, there's three airplanes working this morning doing chemtrails.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you know we're going to catch hell in Dallas because the weather going to be a sugar booger.
Well, my allergies are already acting up, and that's how I know they've been doing what they've been doing.
And I had one of the worst asthma attacks Thursday than I had in 10 years. I ain't had an asthma attack like this.
Yeah. And Brother Drew, you still on?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I had what they called COVID double pneumonia in September. I did not go to the hospital. I stayed home and took care of my business. That thing took me down because I wasn't eating from 204 pounds to 178. So I'm back up to where I'm supposed to be, working out in the gym, 800 on the leg press, and doing all that stuff. So I'm back doing all of that again, new and improved. So my brother said, don't see it as what they told you it was. See it as you just had a very bad flu, which is a combination of other things to make it complex. So I'm just saying I've been there, bro, you know, so I got a taste of what they're trying to do. But guess what? We're still here.
Well, next week, Brother Mahal, we'll enlighten on that. But next week I want to get on January 1, 2022 AD. We're going to trace the history. How can this be a new year when we got all this great history, January the 1st, 2022.
So that means you're going to bring up the Roman god Janus.
Right.
For where the name January came from.
December is the 10th month. So we're going to expound on that. But we hope that you have learned something about eugenics. Eugenics is called a top-of-the-line science, and the reason it's called the top science it carries with it 32 different sciences for the science of eugenics.
Right.
It carries
and psychology and psychiatry is under that umbrella. And psychology and psychiatry come up under that umbrella because you got people with all these personality disorders right now. And I had a conversation with our good brother Tyrone, and he hit me to one that I was not aware of, which is HPD, histrionic, which is really from the word hysteria, personality disorder. So I've been spending time cracking the books and researching and getting up on different sites, paying attention to what is this HPD, because you got people with narcissistic personality disorder, drinking disorders, other types of bipolar personality disorder. You got all this stuff up there now. Our people have all of this going on, and not just us, but everybody, but our people specifically have all of this going on right now, whereas these are things you didn't see in 1960, 1970. You didn't see that yet. Autism, all this sort of stuff is going on right now. This is all still part of eugenics. All of this is part of that. So now you've been rendered physically undesirable. So much to the point that we can't function. It's difficult. I can't say can't. It's difficult for us to function together as a whole. Yeah. As somebody would say, job well done.
So I say, Shema Yahweh, Yah, Abin, Ika, Kamadiyah, to next week.
All right, and I'd like to end with Kabbalah, Yab, Yah, Black Power,